Lord, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you, God, for the desire that you've placed in Bob's heart. Your word says that when someone desires to the office of an overseer, to the office of minister, God, that is a noble desire. And Lord, I know that Bob comes at that desire, as we all do, with a fair amount of fear and trepidation and thinking, maybe I'm not worthy, and that's exactly what you want from us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless his ministry, give him increased opportunities to have inroads into these care facilities where there's not a lot of ministry going on. I just pray for that, that would happen smoothly. And then I pray today, God, that you would anoint our brother. Fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches your word. I pray that you would prepare each one of our hearts to hear your word today, and that we would be greatly blessed by his message. We love you and we thank you in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning once again, and welcome to Riverside Church. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. Only one verse, but an important one for the nation of Israel and an important one for us also. Isaiah 41, 13, one of the many numerous times that God promises his divine support to Israel, saying that he will hold their right hand. It's very important. The right hand was considered to be a sign of trust. Holding their right hand and reminding them to not be afraid. And then he will help them. I will read the verse while you're following along in your Bible. You'll please excuse me being the history geek that I am. I'm going to read it from the King James. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, shall hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. Isaiah 41, 13. A promise that buoyed up Israel numerous times throughout its history, and a verse whose explicit promise has buoyed me up in times of trial, trouble, and desperation. This verse laid hold on my heart both as a promise of protection and comfort one summer day many years ago, and has ever since. But first, just a little bit of backstory. Early in my childhood years, I had a near tragic fall that fostered an irrational but conditional fear of heights. I could be in an airplane without an issue. I could be in a tall building looking out of a window 50 stories up and be there with confidence because there were barriers around me. But being on a ladder or on a ledge will paralyze me. And for that reason, to this day, I admire high iron workers and people who install roofs. Admiring them from a distance while being comfortably and firmly planted on the ground, while still experiencing discomfort and a twisting feeling in my stomach. Well, many years later, after my father had passed away, the roof of my parents' house, an early 20th century converted lake summer cottage in Eastlake, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, had developed a leak on the back portion, which is a slanted section of flat roofing covering an addition. In my exuberant young manhood, I thought I could conquer anything on my own. Besides, I was cheap. My friends know this. So gathering my materials of tar and tar paper, I climbed a very shaky 30-foot extension ladder and stepped onto the roof. Looking out over the vistas of Waverly Road brought back that fear immediately. Shaking it off, I proceeded to tear off the old tar paper and replace it with the new. But when I walked to the roof's edge, I froze. How was I going to swing my leg over that precipice onto that shaky ladder that was quivering as much as I was? Oh, I failed to mention that my mother was out with her friends, and I was completely alone at this time, or so I thought. I sat down on that roof, away from the ladder, not even wanting to lean forward for fear that I'd tumble over. I'd laid down on that roof. I did not know how I was going to get down. I was afraid. No, I was terrified. I asked God to please give me the strength and courage to get down. It was then I remember that verse, specifically the end of it. Fear not, I will help you. I kept thinking of those words, walking to the edge, and as all of us have done, put my life, my fears, and my anxieties in his hands. When I got down, I could not stop thanking him. And that is why this verse is a part of my daily life, as is God. I still don't like heights, but God has my back. He promised. God promised Israel that he would help them. And God promises that he will help us. He will bring us help in everything we need, and always in his good timing and in his good will. Which is another story on patience and acceptance of his sovereignty, but that'll be a story for another time. He will help us through our trials, but not necessarily assuage them from our lives. God told Israel, he tells us, I will help you. Not he might help you, not maybe, not I'll think about it. I will help you. God didn't haphazardly put us here upon this earth and let us go off spinning on our own ways. God put us here on purpose and with a purpose. And though man might not like it and occasionally rebels against it, God puts us here for his purpose. To do anything less than to help us is to go against his own nature, because he loves us and wants the best for us. His best started in Eden and rests at the foot of the cross, giving us the most incredible gift and the opportunity to serve him, the one that loves us the most. He gave us his best. How can we do anything less than our best? He gives us undeserved grace. But what are we giving him? We can and we should serve him without hesitation. Service takes on many faces and definitions. From the youthful enthusiasm of a child studying their Bible lessons during the week and on Sunday in children's church, to the exuberance of a pastor's child helping wherever they're needed and spreading the kindness of Jesus. To the parents raising their children in the ways of becoming a good Christian person, bringing examples of dedication, obedience, and service. And later, to those whose children that are now starting to go out on their own in the world. These young adults will recall their teachings and mentorings as they continue to serve and grow in the Lord. Serving in the most grand ways and in the most humble ways, and to do it all with joy. And to our mature adults and our seniors that have lived lives serving the Lord and continued to do so, but not necessarily in the same way they did in their earlier years, now imparting wisdom and advice and prayer, all invaluable treasures. God has been with you throughout your decisions and all your life. He has smiled upon you greatly in every circumstance. How can we not reciprocate to him? It's not how much you do. It's that you do it. No effort for God or for his kingdom is ever overlooked. Nor does he ever overlook you and I. Truly, God does not need our help. He can do it all on his own. That's not what he wants. He wants our devotion to him. He wants our obedience and our service. For those two actions by themselves display our love for him and to him. You got up this morning with breath in your lungs. Offer that in praise and in prayer to him. When you get up and are mobile, no matter how long that may take, you can walk around exuding peace, walk around your neighborhood, at the grocery store, or at the local coffee shop, or at the senior center, wherever you go. Be a godly Christian example to other people. God promises that he would help us, but there's always that but. He never promised that it would be easy. Him giving up his son to a torturous and degrading and painful death was not easy. Nor was his son's acceptance of his father's will. And for a brief moment, he felt separated from his father while taking on all our sins. And that was not easy. But his father never left him, nor will he leave us. Think of that promise. I will help you. Always there. There for Adam and Eve. He was there for Noah, for Abraham, for David. He was there for Mary, for John the Baptist. And he was there for his son. And he is there for each and every one of us. Right? I don't know how people do it without him. I really don't. I don't know where the phrase originated, but there's an old saying that goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, that is none of us. I'm definitely broke, and I am in need of fixing. And I dare say that there's no one here that can claim they're not in need of some repair. And God loves us and will help us despite ourselves. He loves us just the way we are, warts and all. But he loves us so much that he won't let us stay the way we are. That is why we can rely on all his promises, including that he will help us. He will help us, but we have to ask for his help and accept it willingly, not grudgingly. We have to bury our pride, thinking that we can do it all on our own, thinking that we know the best, when truly deep down, knowing we can't begin to do it ourselves, nor should we. Always seek God. He's there. We are like a child who comes to a loving father carrying a broken toy, pleading for him to fix it, waiting impatiently, then taking it back out of the father's hands, trying to fix it ourselves, or worse yet, using it in its broken condition, which leads to even more severe consequences. God is not here to ruin your life. He is here to help and improve it. Why would a loving creator God, an intelligent creator, the creator of the universe that created you and me, and everything within and beyond our grasp, creating with the greatest precision and love, want anything less than the best for you? He gives you your needs, and he knows your wants. But what about his wants? For he has no needs. God only wants the absolute best for us. He wants to be in a personal relationship with us. He wants us to open our eyes and hearts to him and to the salvation that he offers through his son, Jesus Christ. His wants are most important. He wants us to obey him and his laws. He wants us to love him unconditionally. And with that immense love that he shows us, there's grace and mercy and a depth of patience that none of us can truly comprehend. Amen, huh? A depth of patience, but not endless patience. After all, his righteousness will not allow that. He's patient, but just. After the fall of man from Eden, God showed patience and mercy to our founding family, but with provision. Not forgiving everything, but still there to help those who feared and honored him. Even in his judgment on mankind and its wickedness, there was patience. Instead of using Noah and his family to build the ark, God could have just created the ark with a command of his mighty voice. But instead, he used Noah's construction project as a time of reflection and repentance to all the people around for the 70 to 100 years that it took to build the ark. The neighborhood saw Noah building this boat. And do you think the word about this boat building fool just stayed in the local community? No, no. I'm sure that the news of Noah's project spread pretty quickly and far. And sadly, it did no good. There was no conviction. There was no repentance. So there was judgment. But then with God's mercy, he brought forth Noah and his family and the ark to rest and brought forth fruitfulness and rebirth onto the land and onto man. God is a God of first and second, third and fourth, and many more chances. Where do you think Job got his patience from? And Job's patience was just a little earthly smidgen compared to God's patience. Imagine the kings and empires and wonders of the world that might have been if man had sought God's will instead of their own. Sadly, God's own ordained and chosen people, being witnesses to examples of God's help in their freedom from slavery in Egypt and in the Exodus, would still falter and want their own ways. A straying which led to a 40-year time of reflection in the desert with only a temporary but unlasting repentance. For over 1,400 years, God kept his covenant to his people through times of obedience and discipline. God never left them. Then, with an unprecedented show of love and mercy and a willingness to help, God humbled himself, became man, and came to earth, wanting the best for an unrepentant world to be forgiven their sins and bring them the grace and mercy they so sorely needed. An offer of help the likes that this world had never seen. An offer of help and mercy that comes from beyond eternity and spans millennia. Now, there's not much known about the early years of Jesus' ministry and life, but one of his recorded miracles was at the wedding feast at Cana, where showing respect and compassion to his mother, he helped her friends avoid embarrassment by providing the most exquisite wine and helped keep the celebration going while honoring his father. Throughout Jesus' time on earth, he sought to help people's understanding of his coming kingdom and their part in it. His teachings helped inflame the hearts of his disciples and even those onlookers that were residing on the edge of his ministry, eager to know more. Not all of his miracles and actions were recorded, but we see the help and peace that he brought to families in healings and at times resurrections, always resurrecting their spirit, if not their bodies too. Also, his teachings on mercy and peace are an open receptacle of help to anyone who desires it. Never leaving us, upon his return to heaven after his resurrection, he gave us the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, who brings encouragement, help, and conscience to our daily lives. Which one of us hasn't at some time in our lives hasn't wondered, how am I going to get through this? I've been wondering that most of this week. And then at the end, after the trials are now behind us and the worries and anxieties have melted away, hasn't looked up for upward and smiled and said, it was you. Thank you. Thank you. He may not have removed the trials or even cleared away the sludge that we have to walk through, but he doesn't let it overtake us. He walks with us and holds our hands He helps us from tripping, and yes, sometimes he does carry us past those trials and dangers. Not that we have to go in search of trials and tribulations, because they will surely find us. You'll find in the Bible that God says, I will help you. But you'll never find anywhere where it says it is going to be easy. Not on this earth. But be confident. Go forward. Boldly, not timidly. With confidence. Not in our own abilities, but in the God-given abilities that he gave us. Boldly in service and obedience and adoration to our loving, mighty Creator God. Seeking to be an example to others that share our faith and to those that don't share our faith. Displaying our hope in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Being examples both in service and integrity. And many times by your quiet daily walk with God. Exuding that confidence, knowing that no matter what, and in whatever way he chooses, he will help us. Actions do speak louder than words, and actions do gain people's attention. But don't underestimate the power of words, those quiet, heartfelt words of encouragement, and a simple but sincere prayer for someone's inner hurt that you can feel or see. It will help them. Gentle words guided by the Holy Spirit, unseen but mighty in power. It can be embalmed to one's heart. A gentle aid that will make them consider their need for help from an all-powerful God and Savior. It may bring a word of thanks to you, but most importantly, may soften the hardness and emptiness of their hearts. Or it may bring to their mind what they thought were only random circumstances in their lives. Circumstances that are pointing them toward something bigger than themselves. Instances that they thought were only mere coincidences. But with God, there is no such thing as a coincidence. Everything is on purpose. Each and every step, each and every encounter was known by him always. He gives us choice and he gives us purpose. And he wants us to be in a relationship with him. Firstly, in our brief span upon this earth, and then continuing on into glory and eternity. And through it all, he is there to help us. All that we have to do is reach out and embrace him. He will never let go. Think of it. I will help you. I will help you. God will never cease to help you. Constant and eternal is he, as is his promise of help. A promise that will lead you into his eternal presence. Grab onto his robe and ask him for help, but be prepared for him to use you to help others. How can we not? It's not an obligation. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be his hands and feet on this earth. Think of it. We are his emissaries on this earth, his point people, seeking those who are in need or being willing to be used by our wonderful Creator God, inexplicably putting us in the right place and at the right time, always. No coincidence, just purpose. If you're thinking, I wonder if God wants me to speak to that person, if that thought is in your head, it's not because you put it there. Don't wonder if you should speak. Speak to that person. Speak out in boldness and without worrying what will happen to you or what people will think about you. But being more concerned that they should be thinking about and considering their need for a Savior. You can't bring them to a saving faith, but you can open up their ears to the gospel while God softens their hearts. And then you give them the message of God's great love for them. He will help you. He's been helping you before you were born. while in the womb. And he continues to do so because he loves you. He loves you with a love that you can't replicate, but you can imitate. He gave his son as a divine, earthly example, deity in work clothes, an example that we can partially wrap our minds around, for he was amongst us, living the intended life that we were meant to emulate. One of the first instructions that Jesus gave his disciples was to follow me. And then later on in John 14, he promised help that would never cease, to help you and be with you forever. Parents and families of the precious young that were dedicated to the Lord today, hold on to his promise. He will help you in their raising and nurturing of their body, heart, and soul. He will give you the answers to deep and difficult questions. He will be there. Congregation, God's promise will help you to give godly advice when needed to both the parents and the children, along with your heartfelt prayers. Prayer is the most important tool that God has given to us, a direct connection to him and his son, no intermediaries needed, a tool, a connection, a relationship that Satan is powerless against. God is waiting to hear from you. He eagerly waits to help you. Tell him that you are willing to receive what he gives and happy with what he withholds. To give your all and accept his will, and to do what he sent you to do. Now, go out and love as he loves, and serve him, and serve and help others. You have his word on it. Let me pray. Lord, just thank you for blessing me with this message. Thank you for the open ears and hearts that you have. I just give all the praise and glory to you. I thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. I want to invite you to stand with us. So, first of all, thank you, Bob.